Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who was and is to come. Amen. I gotta say, I feel bad for Zechariah. I mean, I get where the guy is coming from, don't you? He asked one question, and now he has to be mute for 9 months. Holy overreaction, Gabriel. I mean, don't you think? Here he is, minding his business, doing his job, and then suddenly, there's an angel standing right in front of him, promising Zechariah that he and his old wife are finally going to have a child, after decades of waiting. So Zechariah says to his heavenly messenger, "How will I know that this is so?" It's a totally fair question. Gabriel makes this big promise, a promise of biblical proportions, and Zechariah is just supposed to accept it on face value? Really? If some dude in white showed up to my workplace announcing that my world was about to be completely turned upside down, I'd have a question or two. Except, I suppose, except it's worth remembering where Zechariah was. He found himself in the temple. And not just in the temple generally, but in the inner part of the temple, near the holiest of holies, the place where God was believed to most reliably be found. And he was with his fellow priests on duty. They had just cast lots, which is to say they rolled the dice to see whose turn it was to enter in to this sacred space, this holy place, to make the incense offering to God. And a priest like Zechariah might get this opportunity once in his lifetime. And so it was a special honor, a significant role, a holy moment. So maybe, just maybe, Zechariah's spidey sense should have been tingling just a little bit as he entered into this area to make his incense offering. Maybe he should have been expecting that something might be about to happen. Oh, and then there's Gabriel's announcement to Zechariah. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." Evidently, Zechariah has been praying for this to happen. Now, the text says, "Your prayer has been heard," but I think it has to be more than one. A couple from a priestly family who surely has been longing to pass on their calling to the next generation. Well, they didn't just pray one time. No, I think it's safe to assume that this prayer for a child has been on their lips for some time, probably night and day, for years and decades. This has to have been more than one prayer. This is Zechariah's and Elizabeth's deepest longing. He's been hoping that something like this would happen. Oh, and then there's the fact that Zechariah has heard this story before. An old man and an old woman, without child, neighbors who whisper that they are barren, unable to do the thing that they're supposed to do in society. Yet somehow God miraculously visits them and promises them a child. For someone like Zechariah, this is an old story. It's a familiar story. It's the story of his people, of Abraham and Sarah. To be a priest like Zechariah is to be rooted in this old story. It shouldn't have been that big of a surprise, because God's done it before. So maybe Zechariah should have been expecting something that day as he entered into the temple to do his duty when his lot was cast and it was his turn to offer the incense. Maybe Zechariah shouldn't have been quite so surprised that his prayer was answered and that God did what God had always done for Zechariah's ancestors. Maybe he should have been ready for this moment. But he wasn't. And I have to wonder if you or I would be any different. That is to say, I wonder if I would be any more adept at recognizing the ways in which God is entering into holy places and spaces in my own life. Do I expect that God would indeed answer my prayers, particularly those prayers that have been on my lips for quite some time? Have I tuned myself into God's story in such a way that I see how God has been faithfully at work among God's people throughout history, even up until this very moment? Would I be just as surprised as Zechariah? I'm not. I don't. I haven't been, and I sure would be surprised. In Zechariah's shoes, I think I would have been rendered mute as well. Because how can you ever truly be ready? How can you ever really be ready for a divine and holy intrusion of this magnitude? When are you ever ready for your world to be turned upside down, even if it's the very thing that you were hoping and praying would happen? So then maybe Zechariah's silence is more gift than punishment. What if those 9 months of silence that Zechariah is forced to endure is an opportunity to wait, to watch, to listen, and soak in all the ways in which God's promise is unfolding right there in front of him? Because as we see, when it's finally time for old Zeke to speak, he doesn't just talk. He sings. He sings a song of prophecy about the gift of his son John. But moreover, he sings about the goodness and the faithfulness of his God. He sings about the coming baby Jesus who will fundamentally transform the power structures of this world. Not through acts of force or dominance, but through acts of kindness and healing and mercy and love. When Zechariah finally is able to speak again, he concludes his prophetic song with these words: "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." As you continue your preparations for yet another Christmas, you can count on God's grace and God's love to wash over you like the light of a new day, whether you're ready or not, whether you think you deserve it or not. Jesus has come and will come again for you. How will we know that this is so? Because this is and forever will be the way that our God has chosen to be at work in this world. May God give us eyes to see it, ears to hear it. And when it's time, lips to proclaim the tender mercy of our God. Amen.